Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quick Slants, the podcast, post-election 2016 edition, Brady and Belichick in front of the mic talking Trump talk. Additionally, how do the players react? Can the Patriots survive?
All that and more on Quick Slants, the podcast.
Presented by Papagino's.
Post-election edition. What's up, everybody? I'm Tom Curran. That over there is the Senator Phil Perry.
What's up?
Point guard Adam Hart is with us today.
Hey, Tom. Phil.
Get right after it. The first question I want to pose and opine on, or topic, is what damn business is it of ours whether or not Bill Belichick and Tom Brady voted for or endorsed Donald Trump? Can't you just cover the team and the game? Big one coming up. Phil.
Heard a lot of that in the last 24 to 48 hours. I think it became something we had to ask about way back when Brady had a Make America Great Again.
Given your druthers, would you prefer to just cover football and allow this political stuff to tumble in a stratosphere that doesn't really touch us?
No. This is part of the job, in my opinion, and part of what makes this job so fascinating is that we're not here to simply analyze the X's and O's. There are plenty of people that can do that from afar. They can watch all 22 tape they want. They can look at all the numbers and they can break things down that way. Part of what makes our jobs is we're in the locker room. We're getting to know these guys as people and sharing their stories. And, you know, a lot of times those are things that occur off the field. And when there's something as big as this presidential election and that impacts the lives of guys, not only Belichick and Brady, but other guys in that locker room, I think it's fair to ask them about it. If they don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But if they do, we're here for that too.
Yeah, it's interesting. We spend a lot of time humanizing the players, whether it be with Devin on Quick Slants, with Gerard on Quick Slants, with any number of players we do profiles on, and ask them about who they are and where they came from, that it would be disingenuous if we ignored that. This is probably Quick Slants podcast about number 60 or so.
No, this is 74. Four or five.
We're way up there.
I think Phil's answer to start this podcast might have been his best 45 seconds of Quick Slants podcasting
wow.
So far.
Mm.
Because you brought me around on something, you know, because there is a point in which I roll my eyes and go, all right, do I want to play media whack-a-mole today and poke my head up with some story about Trump or Belichick and know that I'm going to get pounded over the head? But I had to do that today, and I enjoy writing about it and observing it. But the social media interaction that inevitably follows isn't that much fun because it's hard to explain in a rational way in 140 characters or less and get somebody who's not already intent on saying screw you to me to understand the point of view. So I think that's interesting when you look at that aspect of it. But in terms of Belichick, with his stepping to the mic today and immediately issuing a statement regarding his relationship with Donald Trump, I think that he kind of wanted to have it both ways because I looked at Monday night, if Bill Belichick did indeed give Trump clearance to read the letter, and Belichick didn't confirm that today, but in this instance, I think Trump speaketh the truth, that Bill Belichick rewrote it and said, go ahead and read it. So that, to me, if you're in allowing someone to read your letter at a political rally prior to the most hyped election that I can ever remember, that's a tacit endorsement. So if you're going to endorse and that particular candidate you're endorsing brings a whole load of baggage, then the onus is on us as media members to say, well, coach that we adorn with all kinds of wonderful verbal bouquets and celebrate the genius of and have known for a long time, do you sign off on some of these very divisive stances and words of Donald Trump? We didn't get to pose that because Bill Belichick said, it's just a friendly note. We're just friends, and I'm just being loyal, and it has nothing to do with politics. And I think that Bill was trying to have it both ways, and that was a little disingenuous.
Do you think the part about it not being at all political was disingenuous? Do you think there was part of him that was hoping to help Trump in a state that could have potentially been a swing state, an important state, important electoral votes? Do you think there was anywhere in the back of his mind he was saying, if I send this letter, it might be worth a couple thousand votes
and then that's a political motivation.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Do you think there was part of him that was into that part of it, that got off a little bit on that part of it?
I think he was doing a favor for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that there's any, that there are members of the Patriots fan base that'll be turned off by that?
Oh, I think so extremely. If you just, as you did, and I know that Phil did as well, watch the election. We have a nice little blue corner of the country up here,
mm-hmm.
in which represents Democratic and Clinton supporting majority, and every place else was red. So I think the people will look at, you know, support for Trump as being a factor that you can't overcome. Now,
I just find it interesting when part of or some part of the storyline that's been talked about with the NFL ratings has been the reaction from players like Colin Kaepernick to the national anthem, and you know, there's allegations that people have just decided to stop watching football. You know, would that be kind of the
would that
same,
happen here
would
because be a, of a because of Belichick and would, Brady supporting
people
Trump?
Would swear off the Patriots because of that?
I don't think so. Do you think it goes that far? I think for Patriots,
so.
I think there will always be
this is the fringe people on both
exactly.
sides who
exactly.
anybody who as upstanding as someone can be. The greatest actors, rock stars, political or athletes, once they align them, once we find out their politics, it's hard to look at them on screen anymore. Can't watch a Tom Cruise movie without thinking that he's absolutely bad.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't have it.
I'll say this. I heard from multiple friends, and Tom, I want to ask you in a second about some of your reporting earlier this week, but I had plenty of friends text, neighbors that I saw, did Belichick really send Trump a letter? That's disappointing. That's the word. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
They're not gonna never come to a Patriots game again. They're not gonna turn off their TVs and never watch Tom Brady throw a football. But I think it resonates with a lot of people who are so, especially in this area, and I think Boston in particular and parts of New Hampshire that whatever are Democratic, is going to weigh pretty heavily on people for a little while and kind of question what they think of those people as people. I don't think it should, but I think it will.
I think it's inevitable that when someone's in the news for one thing or another, when the camera falls on them, you think about what's affecting that person in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
So when the camera flashes on Sunday night to Bill Belichick, I'm sure that Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels will at some point intone on their involvement earlier in the week. On Monday night when Donald Trump used them as a springboard in the election. I think with Bill Belichick as a guy who measures every step and is so cautious, what would be the upside that he would see that outweighs the negative of having to deal with a day like today or questions as to whether or not he identifies with Donald Trump's ideologies or at least signs off on things that Donald Trump has said or done that are offensive. And I don't really understand the upside unless Bill is a hell of a lot more conservative, not even conservative.
I think he really is just a loyal friend. I think it's going to be somebody that he sees down in Florida, you know, in the off season, you know, after the season, before the draft, as he's bouncing around the SEC schools to do his workouts and he's staying in Palm Beach. He's going to run into the guy. He's going to hang out with the guy. I'm sure he likes the guy. He wouldn't have done it otherwise because there really is there's no upside.
All right, so this is a little bit of a – get ready to beep this. Is there a little bit of a star aspect to this? Donald Trump, I do not want to alienate right now. He's on the verge of being the president. Every time I'm with him, it's not like I'm going, you know, to play the municipal course nine hole and then go to Red Robin afterwards.
Sounds like a good day, but
right for you and
for me. Right.
So do they not want to alienate him in, because of what Donald Trump brings? Because I said the same thing about Brady a few weeks ago after he didn't answer any questions, which I don't blame him for in that context a few weeks ago that were posed to him. After Donald Trump's hit the beeper again, grab it by the press conference or incident. And I said the same thing with Brady. He's being stubbornly loyal here to Donald Trump instead of saying, look, I understand the swirl around this person. He's my friend. I don't sign off on that kind of conversation. Instead, he passed on it. Although I happen to know that he did disagree with that kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there is that.
Approach isn't even right the right yeah. word.
I mean,
that approach behavior. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
There has to be. Bill Belichick has met countless famous people over the course of his time here on Earth, you would think, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So does he like them all? Does he become friends with them all and write letters to them all? And
well, he's friends with Bon Jovi, who was at Hillary Clinton's send-off rally the other night.
Right.
Or, as he mentioned, he's had Secretary John Kerry.
I think he is fascinated by and drawn to people who have had success, regardless of field. And so is that being a star bleeper? I don't know. I don't think so, because like I said, how many people has he met that are stars that he doesn't have these sorts of interactions with? I think he probably genuinely likes the guy, which is going to be really difficult for people to understand out there, but especially probably among our listenership, if it's a Democrat-heavy Patriots fans in Massachusetts. But I think that's the only explanation.
Yeah, I mean,
Tom, can I ask you this?
Sure.
You were the one
who
broke the story. Well, we can go over that if you want to go over that.
Let's go.
People care.
There's more nuance involved in casting the vote than I think people would have the patience for me to get into.
Okay.
Because you know what I'm saying?
Do you think people wonder if our reporting is colored by our choice for president?
I mean, you're about to broach the notion that I confirmed that Bill Belichick had indeed sent this letter to Trump.
Right.
People wondered, why would I need to confirm this?
Right.
Most of those people were from the Trump side of things, saying, why would this ever be even doubted? And of course, the majority of people up here in New England were saying, that can't be Bill Belichick.
Exactly.
I came to find out that it was indeed Bill Belichick who sent the letter. And then I was told by people from the liberal side, well, you're obviously in the bag for Trump. This is coming from the Trump camp. I'm like, I don't even know the directions to the Trump camp. I don't even know what mountainside camp Trump is on. Help me out.
Can I ask you what was going through a lot of Patriots fans' minds at the time that Trump made those comments, which was, there's no way in hell Bill Belichick would use those words. How is it that Bill Belichick writes in the same exact voice that Donald Trump uses on a stump-to-stump basis? Were you surprised by the word choice, because it looks like, and I've seen people, someone reported or posted the actual text of the email. I think it was Yahoo News, and Trump read it word for word. There were a lot of people, as soon as he said it, where he said, well, maybe it was from Bill, but he added in a few unbelievable and all these sorts of adjectives that he likes to use. Were you surprised by the language in the letter? Somebody who's covered him for a long time.
No, I wasn't.
We talk about his press conferences all the time. We all know how he acts there.
I wasn't, and I'm not surprised that when he said I answer hundreds of emails and notes a month. I know him to be, and I don't want to try and portray it as over the course of time I've had a long correspondence with Bill Belichick, but given the job that I'm in, there are occasions when correspondence away from the press conference atmosphere is necessary, whether that be through media relations most of the time or on rare occasions over 17 years directly with Bill. And in those occasions, He writes like a normal person, albeit with more exclamation points.
He's a lover Double of exclamation the exclamation points. Point, isn't he?
But I, you know what, you know, if if Bill Belichick, over the course of time, I would equate maybe the relationship that I've got with him to maybe what he's got in some ways with Donald Trump. I don't know what Bill Belichick's politics are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his beliefs are. I don't know where he stands on immigration or abortion or you know, Obamacare. But over the course of time, I've developed a respect for who he is and how he does things, and I understand there's some nuance to him, so that I would reflexively, if he were a candidate for office, probably, and I'm giving a massive hypothetical here, so it shouldn't be portrayed as Tom Curran thinks Bill Belichick should run for office, will be campaign manager. But I would, in the same vein, probably be able to cast support for a guy like that. And I'm just using that very small spiderweb thin rope to connect these two stories. But I get the relationship, and I get the level of, yeah, I know the guy. I would sign off on who he is generally. And apparently Bill Belichick signing off on Donald Trump, that's a harder guy to have the general populace accept you're signing off on.
Have we talked? I can't even remember now because it's the end of the day. My brain is mush.
Hmm.
Hey, mush have we hit on Brady's reaction to today in the press conference? Because that was it was kind of startling, to be honest with you. To be sitting in there and for it to be the day after the election, Brady's been asked about Trump, whether it's in press conferences here, at his locker, on the radio, dozens of times. And the first time he was asked about Trump, it was like he was staring down a Mack truck on Route 1 up here, just in the middle of the road, stark naked. How was he at all surprised? I timed it out. It was 7 seconds between the end of the question and the first noise that he made, or the first word that he said. I think there was an somewhere in there after about 5 seconds. But how, Tom, in God's name, is a guy who's done as many press conferences as Tom Brady so unaware that that question was going to be asked? I think the question was, did you give Donald Trump permission to discuss your phone conversation?
Was that when he said, well, you're assuming that I gave permission?
That's right. That was Brady's.
So maybe he was kind of in his mind like, how the heck am I going to answer this?
I know that's what I was going to answer. So you beat me to it. Sorry. This is like Jeopardy.
Well, why not just say yes or no? It was a yes or no question. Why, or no. He could have said no. It was not a yes or no question. It was a good question because he said, why did you say Donald Trump had permission to talk about this? Because Trump went out of his way to say, Tom told me I'm a great friend and that he supports me and that he voted for me and that I can talk about this.
I think Brady had to process how he was going to answer it because it was posed as a why. You know, had I said, were you aware?
But it's not that hard a question. I mean,
Well, the why makes it more difficult to answer. Why?
Because if he didn't give him permission, why not just say, I'd like to keep conversations between me and my friends private, which is...
Because then you've irritated the president-elect if you say no. And if you say, I like to keep conversations between myself and my friends private, you've tacitly implied that you endorsed him or did give that approval. Mm-hmm. So the ability to give yourself deniability on both sides is to say, well, how do you know I gave that?
it's strange to me because I think he could just tell the truth. He could just come out and say answer questions honestly. And
but he didn't lie.
No, I'm not saying that he lied, but I don't understand the evasiveness. There's no need. I don't know if it really hurts.
Play out the next 36 to 48
hours.
Play out the next 36 to 48 hours.
If fans will have the same reaction they had to Belichick, which is it's kind of disappointing.
What about the level of headache?
But they're already there. They're already disappointed. They already think this is probably what happened.
But you still have to go through.
I think people would appreciate it if you were open. I think he's very conscious about the brand and his image, and it helps him, to be honest with you.
Being evasive today about it,
mm-hmm.
means 12 hours tops of us spinning our wheels, talking about why he was evasive and still having no smoking gun as to either say, oh, he's a Trump guy and he dejected himself right. or otherwise. So he deals with it for 12 hours and then it's gone and nobody's the wiser. Or he says, yeah, I voted for the guy. He's a good friend of mine. I puts his chin out and says it that way. Then it's at least 24 hours, 48 hours, and it's something that resurfaces. And if he says no, well, then he's got the other side of people irritated at him for being a turncoat, and Trump's pissed off, and they can't go golfing together anymore.
It just seems like he goes through hoops to avoid these things where and listen, I'm not saying he owes it to the fans to give us the truth. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care how he votes or who he's friends with. He's a great quarterback. I think it's interesting. I think if he was willing to talk about it, it would be fascinating. He's obviously a smart guy, and I think people would hang on his every word if he ever chose to share his opinions on certain things. It just seems like for a guy of his stature, the right words, standing, you know, he is in this area bulletproof, and outside of this area, you know, there are very the people who think highly of him are probably, it feels like, few and far between. So why go through the rigmarole of avoiding of this whole dance? Maybe that's what it is.
With a rolling pin. I mean,
that might be it.
Stated that.
Yeah.
It is. I think what we're having, too, is just this whole conversation actually goes back to what we've witnessed unfolding over the last 18 months. It's the cult of personality which compels us to talk about this stuff and break it down ad infinitum. And that's why we are where we are. The cult of personality that fed the rise of Donald Trump through the primary stages because we needed to feed the content maw politically, and we needed to be able to speak, write about, talk on the radio about the election, and until somebody arose as a viable or compelling candidate, Trump was the best thing, was the easiest low-hanging fruit. And I think maybe to a degree, we're engaging in that too, and that's okay because nothing is more compelling or interesting right now, but there are occasions when we go on these tangents and then turn around and you say to yourself, what does it all mean? What does it all really matter?
Damn it.
Sorry. It's every okay. time I swear and Adam has to beep it out, that means he has to go through the
I'll find
whole
it. I'll
thing
find it.
And beep it.
Later. Tom, any,
or I might not.
Wait, Adam was just going to...
No, I had one thing. I had one thing from... I wanted to say... Two things. One, I wanted to say that I think Steve Buckley and Tom and there were a few others who asked questions of Brady during that entire exchange where he kind of said he just wanted to stick to football, but you at least got him...
Come out of his shell a little bit.
Yep. And I like just being in the room, it felt like, hey, this is actually like kind of a conversation that's happening
right.
that he's been unwilling to have prior to the actual election. And then two, I thought it was such a weird cop-out way for him to try to work back to sports when he said that, well, I just root for success for anybody. But, you know, I rooted for the Cubs, or I was happy for the Cubs because they won, and I was happy for the Cavs when they won.
It was
funny. Like, what, were you happy for the Giants when they beat you in the Super Bowl? Like,
it was so funny because I had zoned out during that answer, like at the beginning of it, and then I zoned out, and I'm like, what is he talking about? How do we get here?
I did the exact same thing, and I heard he was happy for the Chicago Cubs, and I was like, huh? What? But those are the kinds of hoops that he flips through to try to keep everybody happy, I think, and it's the way he's chosen to do things. It's fine.
Who brings us this podcast?
Well, I'll tell you who, Tom. And everyone should know it by now because every Papa Gino's pizza starts with dough made fresh daily in Walpole, Mass. From just 5 simple ingredients. Nothing else tastes like Papa Gino's. It's the official pizza of the New England Patriots and Quick Slants, the podcast, which has a whole bunch of new 5-star reviews. And
really?
I'm going to read you 2 right here. We'll read a couple more later on in the episode.
They are flooding in. This is what happens when Tom promises to specifically identify every single person that leaves us a good review. The reviews come flying in because people want to be acknowledged.
Some guy tweeted at me today and said, mention me on the podcast.
There you go.
Well, we're going to find it now. Before the end, we'll find it. This is from Zero Improvements. It's called Patriots Fan in Jets Giants Country.
Got hooked on everything CSNNE after hearing Tom blasting the NFL Films people in the NFL Network Top 10 episode for popping the champagne after Peyton finally won a Super Bowl after he kept getting schooled by BB and TB12. Awesome listen to what it probably feels like hanging out with Pats fans, which I don't get to do where I live in New Jersey, only 15 miles from Met Stadium. Most conversations for me and my two boys are with disgruntled Jets fans ripping our quarterback or entitled Giants fans who won't let us forget 07 and 11. So it's great to sit with Pats Nation once a week. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Zero Impact.
And this one is from...
That was really nice.
That was a nice one, right?
It was.
And this one is from JGE3210. It's another five-star review. It's called Great Pod. Lots of great Pats info with a couple of laughs on the side.
Only a couple laughs.
Just
a,
hey, let's not get greedy.
I feel like the bar is a little higher than that for us.
We still have to bring an element of seriousness so that people understand they're getting disciplined conversation.
Legitimacy. I agree.
With that, you asked a legitimate question to Devin McCourty. Ari, guys, I promise you we're not going to do this next week when Trump is starting to make his cabinet picks. We'll be back to football full time.
Unless Bill Belichick is Secretary of State or...
Secretary of Defense. You ask a good question, Devin McCourty, about how this impacts. Was he speaking specifically about, I was surprised, that Bill Belichick gave an endorsement?
No. It really wasn't a great question. It was just...
It was a good question.
It was a tremendous question.
No, it really wasn't, but I appreciate the sentiment. It was... All it was recognizing a guy up there who is... not afraid to share his opinions when it comes to off-the-field issues, particularly social issues, which we've talked about. We've had Devin McCourty on this very podcast to talk about some of those things. He garnered a lot of attention when he and Martellus Bennett raised a fist after the national anthem before their week one game in Arizona. And so that's all it was. I was giving him a chance to react to the election results from last night. And... he gave a great quote, and I think part of the reason why he is a good person to ask something like this is because, Tom, and I don't know if you agree here, but he is in the Gerard, and I'm not just saying this because both these guys are on Quick Slants, the television show, but he is in the Gerard Mayo class of Patriots where they don't really have to fear all that much when it comes to what they say in the media because Bill Belichick respects these guys so much that the number of times they're, you know, called to the principal's office is compared to probably a lot of other people extremely rare. And I also think they just don't, they're not afraid to share what they believe.
Right.
And they're smart guys and they're going to avoid the landmines that may affect others when they kind of veer away from football.
Yeah, I don't think they're given carte blanche to talk about whatever they want and whatever terms they want, but I think they're given way more rope because I think Bill Belichick over the course of time has understood that they know where to stop. They'll stop at the right spot. Right. And they can articulate complex ideas. And not every single guy can. You can't go to Gronk and ask him to explain this stuff and the mood of the locker room and have him do it in, I think, the most cogent and digestible way.
Sure.
And he wouldn't be comfortable doing that in my experience talking with him. It's not his deal. It's not how he is. Mm-hmm. But Devin is comfortable being forthright with his emotions and the way that he thinks that things impact a locker room. Not everybody is attuned to the way things affect the group. Some people are self-absorbed, not in a bad way, or look, if you're a rookie, you got too much crap to worry about, to fixate on why Bill Belichick is friends with Donald Trump. Dear God, I mean, if you could imagine that, do you think the Trey Flowers is sitting around, oh, I can't believe the Bills, I'm a big fan of Trump's. It's certainly off-putting. I don't see that happening. Well, he's got too much crap on his plate. He might be saying that,
but I don't think if all of a sudden you put a microphone in his face, I don't think he'd be comfortable talking about it for 30 seconds. I think there are plenty of guys in there who could talk about it eloquently, and I think a lot of those guys honestly don't trust themselves to remain dispassionate enough to speak about it in such a way that would limit distraction and keep themselves out of the spotlight, so to speak. Like, I think, so Chris Long earlier this week said he wasn't going to vote
And he pretty emphatically said, I'm not talking about it. Like, don't ask me about it. But I think if you got him going, he seems like a guy who runs pretty hot, and he's a guy we know has a lot of opinions on these kinds of things. I think he could speak about it. He just chooses not to because he knows he'd maybe get himself into trouble. But all Devin said was, should I read the quote?
Sure.
Adam, what do you think about that as a producer?
I'm just going to play the quote right now.
How about that?
I think for a lot of us, it was a time where you know, I didn't expect that, but, you know, I think you understand politics is different. You know, everyone's trying to win a race, and you're doing different things to win a race. And I think just talking to our chaplain, he said it best. You know, we just have to pray for the leadership of our country, whether you agree with it, disagree with it. You pray for the leadership, and you believe that there's a way everything will be all right. But, you know, everything doesn't go the way you want it personally, but that's where I'm at, you know, pray on it and hope everything, you know, works out well and believe in God.
Sounds better in Devin's voice than it would have in yours if you read it.
Yeah, he's got a little more bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's younger than me, too, yeah. Which is kind of demeaning or something.
Demeaning?
Not demeaning. Emasculating, that's the word I was looking for.
Oh, no, you got plenty of emasculation.
Thanks, Tom.
I don't think it impacts the Patriots one iota as this week goes along when they play the Seattle Seahawks. Sunday night, it's going to be about football. Football, football. You know what it's time for?
What is it time for?
Time for News Go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for News Go. Phil, News Go.
Tom, Anthony Johnson, I know one of your favorite guys in mm-hmm. that Patriots locker room. One of the best guys to talk to, really. On the roster, off the roster, on the practice squad, off the practice squad, promoted from the practice squad. Now, off the practice squad yet again, the Jets, of all teams, signed him away off the Patriots practice squad, which any team can do. Just for people out there who aren't familiar with the practice squad rules, those guys are available for any team in the NFL to sign to their active roster at any point in time. So the Jets decided to do that with Anthony Johnson. Interesting in that, kind of a unique guy in that Patriots locker room, maybe the only real penetrating defensive tackle that they've had on the roster all year. So they lose him to the Jets. They might end up seeing him at the end of the month. And Tom, you have mail. Does it contain any news? If so, go.
Yes, indeed. It's the Pete Carroll conference call transcript already. Awesome. Because I was trying to find Pete Carroll. I was going to use my News Go opportunity here to talk about Pete Carroll and his time in New England. And we asked him during a conference call if he still had times where he thought back to this place. And I'm going to read some of it to you, just in parts and snippets. So I said, that's a good question, because when I went into New England, I was really committed to being able to bring the philosophy and do it exactly the way I wanted to do it and be in control of it. Didn't really work out that way, the way I hoped. I next asked him, after he continued to talk about that, if he felt he was a little naive expecting to have that kind of power coming in after Parcells. He said, I know I was really naive to think that based on the way it ended, but I really came in there with that thought. Thought I was going to bring out ways from San Francisco and do all that kind of stuff. Just didn't quite work out right, and I wasn't on my game enough to pull that off. It was a great lesson learned. Asked him if he was still tight with the Crafts, or at least had had conversations with them since 1999 or early 2000 when he was jettisoned and then landed with the USC Trojans and turned into a tremendous coach. He said, they've been tremendous since, and I have great respect for their family and their connection to putting that program together, and how important it was to connect with the community and how they've done it. Just the extraordinary success. My hat has always been off to Robert Kraft to give Coach Belichick the chance to do it the way he did. It's still funny because he just won't stop.
Can't let it go.
Give Coach Belichick the chance to do it the way he did. I remember talking to Pete Carroll on the phone during his tenure here and asking him. It might have been after he left, had been fired, and we were having a conversation. And he said, look, they said they were going to do everything different there. They said they wanted to be the 49ers. And the next thing I know, they're complaining about the price of the toilet paper that I wanted to order. He said it was not like anything they said it was going to be. So, interesting times.
Poor Petey.
Phil, News Go.
Tom, Michael Bennett, talented Seahawks defensive lineman, not going to be able to play. He's undergone a little bit of surgery here recently. There was some question as to whether or not he'd be able to go against the Patriots, and his brother Martellus Bennett That question has since been snuffed out. Pete Carroll said today on that very same conference call that Michael Bennett will not be available. One interesting side note. Talked to Martellus Bennett about his brother in the locker room today. I said, you ever played that guy before? He said, yeah, a couple times. I said, how does that go? Do you win more battles than you lost? You guys ever lock horns? He said, yeah, well, you know, we're brothers. So, you know, you and then he did the little blocking motion and he's shuffling his feet and says, okay, you good? You good? You good? You good? I'm good. You good? Okay, there he goes. He's going right. We're running right. Okay, now go get him. So he was just kidding around, but that was a funny little interaction. I think he is a little bit disappointed that he's not going to be able to see his brother on the field, but maybe it makes it a little bit easier. Those guys obviously very close, and it has to be weird to try to come down on a crack block and take the guy out with LeGarrette Blount running off your ass, you know, at midfield in an important moment in a football game, I would think. Also, just as a quick reference point, people remember Michael Bennett was an absolute monster in that Super Bowl in Arizona. And Ernie Adams, in the, I believe it was the Do Your Job documentary, said after the fact he was one of the most dominant players on the field, and they really didn't block him all game.
Brady got the ball. We didn't block 72 all day.
Brady got the ball out of his hands quickly. I mean, nobody knows what he sounds like. So Brady got the ball out of his hands quickly, and they were able to move the ball effectively. Cliff Averill, still a very talented pass rusher. Frank Clark, not bad himself. So they'll still have their hands full up front. But when Bennett's healthy, he's a monster, and now he doesn't
play.
Now he doesn't play. So good news for the Patriots. Tom, you got any more news? What do you got? Go.
That's all you have to say. Go.
Go.
Patriots, 249 attempts as a team this year. Not a pick yet. The record for a season is 5. 6 teams share that record. The Patriots, interestingly, rolling along with 0 picks halfway through the season. I find that to be an interesting development. And this will probably be the best chance early in the year for them to throw a pick. Actually, after the midpoint. It's not early anymore. But that is my final news. Go. Anybody else have anything else? Because I need to get out of here.
I got one more bit of news.
Go.
I think Tom can go, though.
I mean, you can leave whenever you want. My last bit of news is Tommy Curran's birthday today.
Oh.
How about that? How did we go this long into the podcast without acknowledging
happy birthday,
the day of your birth?
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
You're a big birthday guy. You like your birthday.
I do.
That's a great thing. I think more people should like their birthday. Too many people say,
it's tough on a Tuesday.
Well, it's tough. It's
especially
a Wednesday.
When it's a Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when it's really tough. But maybe last year it was on a Tuesday and it was tough for you.
Yeah, it was a lot of hooting in, a lot of side stuff this year though, Adam.
A lot of side stuff.
The big election and whatnot.
Yeah.
You mean there wasn't enough attention focused on your birthday? Is that what
I wasn't able to luxuriate in the start of my 43rd year.
Yeah. We did get you a cake.
43rd,
though.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. We did get you a cake. It said "Happy Birthday, Nose Guy."
Right.
You guys can see a picture of that cake.
That's my superhero alter ego.
On Twitter. I definitely tweeted it. Adam may have tweeted it as well. Our friend Mike Giardi definitely tweeted it. So make sure you send all your happy birthday wishes to Tom. He will take them Thursday, Friday,
happy
Saturday
birthday,
through the weekend.
Happy birthday.
I think he'd be happy to hear from you really at any time. And he does his best to get back to everyone on Twitter, good comment or bad. And so a lot of you out there probably already know that if you've got him riled up at some point in time over the last handful of years. But reach out to the guy. Say happy birthday. Best in the biz. He does a good job.
Thanks, Philly Phil.
We gotta acknowledge him every year at least once. So I think that's it for News Go.
Yeah, and with dough-made fresh daily in Walpole, Mass. For just 5 simple ingredients, nothing else tastes like Papagino's pizza. It's the official pizza of the New England Patriots, and we have 2 more reviews to read for you before we let Tom go. And one is from New NJ Pats fan. It is a 5-star review, because what else would you leave for this great podcast?
Are you able to do any other kind of review except for a 5-star review?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just make sure.
You can do a 4, you can do a 3, a 2.
Our listeners are just the best.
But, I mean, why would you? So this one is Love the Pod from Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. This is Gabriel checking in from Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic. Just wanted to say it's incredibly insightful to have Tom and Phil discuss the Pats as 2 insiders. That's right, 2. Your normally reasonable, measured approach is a huge difference from the hot, takey national media shtick. Keep up the great work. Hope I get a shout-out, and you have. And
That was Gabriel or Gabriel?
I'm Gabe? Saying Gabriel.
Gabriel.
But it could be Gabriel.
Could be Gabe. Well, Gabe or Gabriel.
I think I'm going.
Whichever
yeah.
you prefer. We've now given you multiple shout outs with both. So there you go. Yeah.
And then this one's from Trevsky, who says, great podcast. Break down the biggest Patriots news in a semi amusing way and lambast a certain curly haired globe troll writer for not coming down to Foxborough.
Occasionally.
On occasion.
We will do that.
All right, guys.
It's not just him. No. Tom's really liberal with the arrows.
They should just come down and ask the questions.
You got to get out of here. Big hoop game tonight.
Yeah.
Big hoop game.
5:45.
Any picks? You want to throw some picks at the people real quick before you head out the door?
What do you mean? For the weekend?
Yeah, I'm looking at your little plan here, which you wrote out, so that's not on me.
Yeah, picks was Patriots picks.
So?
Like the interceptions. I talked about them.
Oh, I thought you were picking scores.
Folks, you just got to see how the sausage was made. Phil looked at my little plan
here. I
got
to come to the show meeting next time.
oh, jeez.
Our guy's getting old.
Belichick noises. Bye, everybody.
Quick Slants, The Expats, Celtics Talk, The Great American Hockey Show, and The Baseball Show are our podcasts, and you can listen to them all by visiting csnne.com/podcast or by searching CSNNE on apps like iTunes and Audioboom.
Brady and Belichick step to the mic. How they do?
And then we'll talk some football and stuff like that. Will you... Is everyone okay?
No.
What happened?